The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Sister by the name of Eva. Eva was married to Neil. Okay, you with me so far? My mother-in-law, Neva, twin sister Eva, married to Neil. And Dr. Neil Myers in the 70s was pastor of this church when it was West Oakey Baptist Church on Oakey and Arville. So we did not ever suspect that we would follow Mary's uncle at a church, but we did. And we received word on Friday that he had passed away. He would have been 90 years old this year. And Neil and Eva were a great part of this church in their day. And so pray for their family during this time. The service will be Saturday morning. And not only is it one of our former pastors, but it is part of my wife's family. And I would appreciate you keeping them in your prayers, because that's a tough loss for all of them. So thank you for listening and enduring. And now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to go to the series that we have been immersed in for the past several weeks, and that is From Wrecked to Restored. Based upon the fact that we all come into the new year, and we have things in our life that we need to work on. We all have emotions. We all have relationships. We have our spiritual life, our work life, our family life, and nobody has it all together. Nobody has everything under control. And so we take the new year sometimes. We make resolutions. Well, I'm going to start this, or I'm going to stop this, or work on this. And I know we're already in the third week of January, so some of those resolutions have probably gone by the wayside. But when God lays something on your heart that you need to move in restoration, something has been wrecked, whether you wrecked it, you did it, or whether somebody else ran into you and wrecked it. Wrecks are not always your fault. And yet God comes upon us and he says, hey, we need to move beyond this. We need to deal with this and put this in the past. And you need to stop this or start this. You need to repair this, restore this, refurbish this, rebuild this. Then we want to be able to do that. We've been looking at the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah gained a burden for rebuilding the walls and rehanging the gates in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the crown city of God. It should have been a beautiful city, and it should have been a protected city, but at this point in time, it is neither. For over 40 years, it has been in rubble. For 25 years, the children of Israel have been trying to repair it, but they've made very little progress. It comes to the attention of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah gets a burden to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, to refurbish the walls and the gates around Jerusalem. So he gains permission from Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and he makes his way there to accomplish that. We found so far some principles that have served Nehemiah well. Number one, if you're going to rebuild or restore or refurbish, the first thing is you need to get a good start. You need a good beginning. Know what it is you're going to do, why you're going to do it, what it's going to take. And Nehemiah had all of that. He had, even to the point that he asked the king to provide wood for the gates. The second thing is we build a team. Because it's very, very difficult to rebuild things in your life on your own. Every once in a while, that may happen. But most of us need somebody to come along as an encourager, somebody to come along as a cheerleader, somebody to come along as an advisor, somebody who can help us take the blinders off and see ourselves for who we really are. And so we need a team to help us with that. And then we need to know what the objective is. Where do I want to go from here? How do I get from where I am to where God wants me to be? Today, we look at the fourth of these principles, and it is on conflict. It is on somebody trying to discourage you from building and doing what God has called you to do. Now, Super Bowl is coming up. And because the Super Bowl is coming up, I'm going to use an illustration that centers around football. It is YAC, all right? It's an acronym, YAC. Got that? All right, everybody on the count of three, say it with me. Ready? One, two, three.
YAC.
Oh, come on. Yeah, no, 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 you don't have this. Use your Super Bowl scream, okay? Y-A-C. 1, 2, 3. Y-A-C. Okay, now don't forget that. It means yards after contact. John Madden, former coach of the Oakland Raiders, invented this statistic. He would watch his players to see how many yards they could move forward after they were first hit. How many yards did they go after the first tackle attempt or the first hands on the player? You know, if you were running and you caught the football and somebody grabbed hold of your jersey and you broke away, that's yards after contact. If you were running the ball and somebody grabbed at your feet and they missed and you kept running, that's yards after contact. Emmitt Smith, when he was running and playing for the Dallas Cowboys back in their heyday, 1 year broke the record for more touchdowns in a single season than any other football player had ever done. We're mostly aware of that stat if you know football. What you may not know is that during that same year, he also broke the record for YAC, yards after contact. That's why he made the touchdowns. They have discovered that oftentimes the most yards of a runner is after the first contact. The most yards after a receiver is after contact. Now, here's the application. When a football player gets the ball and somebody tries to tackle him, he keeps his legs churning after he is hit. He keeps moving forward, his head toward the goal line. He doesn't quit. And in rebuilding, restoring, refurbishing, the same has to be true of us, because you're going to have conflict. Just like ham and eggs and steak and baked potato and corned beef and cabbage. Conflict and rebuilding go together. You are not going to have 100% of the support of everybody. Somebody's going to come along and say, you really think you can do that? You really think you ought to be spending your time on that? You really think you are up to that? And if you don't know how to make yards after contact, the moment you do that, you'll do what some football players do. They just drop the ball and quit. They're not good runners. They don't make many yards after contact. You might fumble the ball. You might even run in the wrong direction. You've seen those guys. I've seen those guys that all of a sudden they get contact and they run backwards. And they zigzag across the field and sometimes get caught 10, 15, 20, 30 yards back there because they were running away from the contact. The progressive runners run through it. And you are fooling yourself if you can convince yourself that when you begin to rebuild, no matter what it is, when you begin to rebuild, I'll guarantee you, you're going to have conflict. And you're going to get to that point of saying, what's the use? And it's easier to quit. You know, I've seen people that seem to be moving along pretty steadily, making progress, and then conflict enters in and they just want to lay down and quit. No. Yards after conflict is what enables us to overcome obstacles. And Nehemiah in chapter 4 encounters opposition. He has opposition both from without, outside of the walls of Jerusalem, and from within the walls of Jerusalem. People on the outside don't want the walls rebuilt, because when the walls are torn down, robbers, thieves, murderers, marauding armies can come into Jerusalem anytime they want. There's no wall, no protection. So there's enemies without. They don't want the wall built. And there are enemies within, because these are the ones who are having to rebuild the wall and they just get tired. So I want us to look at this scenario today. And as we consider opposition, whether it is from without or from within, look at the people of God in Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah and figure out what it takes for us to make some yards, make some advance, gain some ground after contact. And Nehemiah has four things. Number one, you have to face the fight. All right? You have to face the fight. It is going to happen. It's not going away. you have to learn to deal with this opposition and learn to overcome it. From Nehemiah 4, we understand that Nehemiah's opposition did come from without. Two guys named in the scripture, one by the name of Sanballat, the other by the name of Tobiah. Sanballat, in chapter 4, the Bible says, mocked the Jews. He said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day?" And then Tobiah has to get in his two cents. He says, "Why, whatever they build, if a fox jumps on it, it's going to break down." He calls them feeble Jews. Feeble Jews. What are they doing? They're doing three things. Number one, they're attacking their morale. Morale is the motivation. It is the want to. It is the, yes, God has called us to do this. Yes, I'm committed to this. I need to read my Bible better. I need to pray longer. I need to extend forgiveness. I need to do this. I know that. And so these guys are coming in and they're attacking that morale. Do you really think you're going to do this? And they're trying to weaken the resolve. Have you ever met anybody like Sanballat, Tobiah? They're trying to weaken your resolve and leave you saying, "Well, what's the use? It's never going to happen anyway." You got to remember, it's yards after contact. That determines how far you're going to get. After they attack their morale, they attack their motives. He says in verse 2, they are doing it for themselves. Well, we're all a little bit intimidated when somebody says, "Oh, you're just doing this for yourself. You're not doing this for anybody. You're just doing this for yourself. You know, you're just doing this as a church." People tell church, they're just doing that because they want to do this. And when somebody begins to attack your motive, it becomes devastating. You know, they're saying, "Nehemiah, you're selfish. The people of Jerusalem, you're selfish." If you are in the process of rebuilding something in your life, do not be surprised if somebody sees your walls going up and begins to attack not only your morale, but your motives as well. And then the mission. The mission. What was the mission? Rebuild the wall. How did they attack the mission? Well, if a fox jumped upon the wall, it was so poorly constructed it would fall down. In other words, your mission is bigger than you can handle. You're not smart enough, bright enough. You don't have enough power. This job's too big for you. Can I give you a phrase maybe you want to jot down and remember for later? Habitual critics always resist change. Habitual critics. If you've never known one, count your blessings. But if you've known some, you know exactly what I mean. They always resist change. The truth of the matter is, when you take God at His word and you begin to rebuild or restore, you begin to refurbish something of value in your life, there's always going to be a Sanballat, Tobiah, who mocks and ridicules, attacking your morale, your motive, your mission. You know, I think about the homes in our nation. I believe our homes need to be rebuilt. And I believe it is the father's job to take the stand for his family. But society bucks against that and makes fun of that and tries to tear the morale around it. Why, father is so incompetent, he can't put a baby seat in a van. You know, dad's so incompetent that he's got to have mom show him what the Swiffer does. We paint men in this country as so ineffective and inefficient that to suppose they could take any leadership role is beyond us. And yet, it's what God says. You know, it's what the Heavenly Father says. So understand, you will have conflict from without. You will also have conflict from within. If you're in the process of building something, you need to ask yourself, who on the outside is attacking morale, motive, and mission, and face it? But what about on the inside? You know, in chapter 4, verse 10, it's talking about the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was the number one tribe in size among the tribes of Israel. And here's what the tribe of Judah say. the strength of the laborers is failing. We're tired. We're worn out. We've been struggling. We've been stumbling. We don't think we're going to be able to finish the task. They've been working hard, and they're tired. So it has led to three things. It leads to fatigue, number one. You know, the strength, the physical endurance is failing. They've been working hard, they're tired of it. With fatigue comes discouragement. Discouragement sets in, we lose our perspective. We can't see the power of God to help us see this through. So after fatigue, what happens? Well, that leads to frustration. Frustration. Everything we do leads us to frustration. Little things become bigger than they really are. And after frustration, you know, there's failure. We just end up saying, I can't do this. So what do they do here? They take their goal off to all of the things that God has done, and they look at the rubbish, and they see what's left, and they say, we just can't do it. This massive job is too big, and we just can't handle it. And they say this, we are not able to rebuild the wall. What just happened? They lost their confidence. They lost their confidence. Anybody here feel that way today? I wouldn't be surprised at all, because I think we've all been there. Well, I'm just never going to do this. That's why we let go of our New Year's resolution. This will never happen. Fatigue, frustration lead to failure. By the way, they were halfway done. They were halfway done, which is the most dangerous point. They were halfway done in the project. But they couldn't see that they were halfway finished. What they saw is they had half of it to go. They lost that focus. And it happened. Have you ever been in the middle of painting a room and then halfway through thought, what in the world was I thinking? You know, what in the world were we, what were we thinking doing this? We've all been halfway through a project and just thought, not going to happen. So what does Nehemiah do? Well, look at the Bible verse. So we built the wall. He speaks to them, encourages them, challenges them, persists in the task. He just keeps mixing the mortar. He keeps laying the stones. It would have been much easier for Nehemiah to go back to Persia and be the cupbearer to the king. He could have said to everybody, listen, I'd rather drink poison than put up with you people for another day. But he doesn't do what's easy. He doesn't go back. He takes the dilemma straight to the Lord. In verse 4, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. He prays and he continues to work, and he works harder. You know, if you're looking to change careers, pray about it. Then fill out a resume. Make some contacts. Do some legwork. Don't fill out a resume and say, well, God, show me. If you're trying to rebuild a relationship, you're trying to rebuild a marriage. Pray about it and then do something that shows you love that person. Face it. Make it happen. You know, yards after contact. Once you hit the opposition, you still got to make headway. The second thing, adjust the project. You know, John Madden was a great coach, and I'm sure that John Madden, like every other coach, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, soccer, whatever it is, they all make adjustments at halftime. You know, if you don't think that's true, ask the Vikings. They all make adjustments at halftime, right? Well, Nehemiah knows to make some adjustments here. What does the Bible say? He says some of the Jews were dwelling too near the enemy. That simply means that because the wall around Jerusalem was big and it was broken down, that there were pockets, encampments of people that didn't live in Jerusalem and that left outside of Jerusalem. And too many of the Jewish people lived where these encampments outside the wall were. Well, what's happening outside the wall? Remember, opposition from without. Sanballat's out there saying, they're not going to finish that. No way. It's too big. There's too much rubbish. Tobiah's out there saying, well, even if they did, if a fox jumped on it, it's going to fall down. They're going to have to redo it. And these Jewish people living within earshot of that. They're living. They're hearing that. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe we can't. Maybe it won't work. And what happens? They begin to listen to the enemy instead of listening to God. And man, that's never a good idea. They begin to listen to why it can happen instead of why it can. So what does Nehemiah do? Well, look what he says. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And he tells them again, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. It's halftime. Let's adjust. Let's make some changes. He addresses their fear, encourages them. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. He reminds them the battle's the Lord. You don't have to quit. And then number three is a phrase I got from my dad back when I was a kid. Stay by the stuff. It just means keep doing what you know to do. Don't quit. Keep doing what you know to do. Stay by it. Well, Nehemiah puts it simply, all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Everyone stayed by the stuff, kept doing what was right. Nehemiah never left rebuilding the wall for battle. He made progress yards after contact. They mocked him. He kept rebuilding. They ridiculed him. He kept rebuilding. They threatened his life. He kept rebuilding. They despised him. He kept rebuilding. They conspired against him. He kept rebuilding. They came to him one time and said, shook his ladder, said, Nehemiah, why don't you come on to the plain of Ono and let's discuss this thing. And Nehemiah said, oh no, to oh no. He said, I'm not going out there. You think I'm going to leave this work to come and argue with you? No. He said, we're going to keep on keeping on. So I think about Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, when he was reaching, he said, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. J.B. Phillips' translation says of that, we're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We're going to keep at it. And then the final thing, he encourages the team. He encourages the team. The Bible says that Nehemiah in chapter 4, verse 20, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. I think the Jewish people would probably have abandoned this and left the wall in ruins again if Nehemiah had not stepped up. And I think one person can make a tremendous amount of difference. That's why you need a team, somebody in your life who can help you make a difference. So Nehemiah creates a rally point. Now here's what they did. Nehemiah says, I want every person to have a weapon. They had a conspicuous carry permit, all right? Not concealed. They didn't want to conceal their weapons. So they got big swords and big spears and big shields, and half of the people that were working on the wall stood there with those conspicuous weapons showing, glistening in the sunlight, and half worked on the wall. And they would do that for 4 hours or so, and then they would switch places. And they would work on the wall while the other half showed their weapons off. And Nehemiah says, now, just in case these guys, you know, decide to do something, here's what I want you to do. I got this guy with the trumpet. He's going to go to wherever the trouble is, he's going to blow the horn. And when he does, I want everybody to come right there. And we'll take care of business. Well, man, that's encouraging. Because I'm not doing this by myself anymore. I'm not my own anymore. They're widely scattered, but they are to rally. And they rally around one another. But until the horn blows, we keep rebuilding the wall. Until the horn blows, we keep keeping on. We don't quit. Just because there's been some discouragement, we don't quit. And Nehemiah encourages the people, our God will fight for us. Here's a question. I don't know what you're rebuilding, but here's the question. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you going to listen to the enemies? Because they will attack your morale. They will attack your motive, your mission. They'll tear you down. Or are you going to listen to God? Nehemiah said, our God will fight for us. And he did. And you know what? The wall was rebuilt in 52 days. They were halfway through, they finished rebuilding the wall. Why? Because they faced the opposition. You cannot roll over and play dead. Nehemiah says, don't quit, don't fumble, don't lay down, don't just walk back to the huddle. Yards after contact. I think God brought you here today. Nobody's here by accident. And I believe God brought some of you here today to say, even if you're tired, don't quit. Even if you're not seeing progress, don't quit. Even if it's not going as fast as you think it should, don't quit. Don't quit. Yards after contact. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, you know the heart of everybody here. You know what everyone is working on and trying to refurbish and refinish and remodel or redo. Give us your strength. Help us not to listen to the critic, but listen to you, because you fight for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.